tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we talk the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football, from the latest signings to this year's breakout star, and all of the news in between. Back again is Alex.
And I'm Jeremiah, as always.
And happy Memorial Day to you folks listening out there in the world. It is Memorial Day, May 30th. Also, my dad's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday to your dad.
Thank you.
How old is he?
That. 56, something like that. He's a spry guy. You know, okay. He doesn't look 56, but he's in good shape. But yes, every year Memorial Day shares with my dad's birthday. So happy Memorial Day, happy birthday, Dad, and all the normal stuff. Thank you to the troops out there and all those who fight for our country on this Memorial Day.
Yes, thank you to those who serve our country and who have fought for it. And let's begin with some big news that broke out.
Thursday. Yeah, well, I was doing the sports podcast, which I also
and
do on this network.
You know, we do our show every Monday and Wednesday, mm-hmm. so we had to wait 5 days to talk about this.
Exactly.
But the big news that broke on Thursday is Art Briles.
Former
Baylor coach. Yeah. He was suspended. But the intent to be terminated.
So technically speaking, have they terminated him fully? Because I say current, suspended.
I assume so that he's terminated because they did offer the
Phil Bennett. Coaches get like think about it when Steve Kerr in the NBA was hurt, they offered the interim job to
Luke Walton.
So I mean, technically speaking, he wasn't fired. But no, I get what you mean. I mean, he's going to be fired, so we can say former. Doesn't matter. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Former coach.
Former Baylor coach, yeah.
Art Briles.
Yeah, and then defensive coordinator Phil Bennett is expected to accept Baylor's offer.
Yeah, they offered him the job on an interim basis. Mm-hmm. It's nothing official yet, but according to sources, they've offered it to him, and yeah, he's expected to accept it, which would make sense. You keep it in-house for now until you can – I mean, it's kind of – late into the process, I guess, to try to get a brand new coach
for this
season.
Yeah, it's very, very late to get a brand new coach.
Yeah, they'll probably play this year out with him.
Yeah, you know, the college football season's only less than 100 days away.
Yeah, and with college football, too, they've been doing spring practices already for a little while now. So it's different than the NFL. They get into it right away. It's school sports, you know, it's a year round thing, even more so than professional football sometimes.
Yeah. Well, the news comes after a May report from law firm Pepper Hamilton that mm-hmm. take court in Philadelphia to the university's board of regents that outlined repetitive actions of sexual assault and violent incidents involving players on the team, you know, when Briles was the coach.
Yeah, a few different times too. So
it was a huge problem.
Yeah, exactly. Without getting too in depth with that, a few different times that's happened with like players like Sean Oakman.
Yeah,
and you have a couple. Sam Akuwachu.
Yeah,
a couple months ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago, Sean Oakman I think had
twice.
Yeah, especially so, I think in April also.
Right before the draft.
Yeah. Which really hurt him.
Because he's not on a team.
Yeah.
So, without getting too in-depth with that, those were quite a frequent occurrence, apparently, in the last few months and a couple of years there. And they had to do something. They had to do something drastic.
Yeah, it led to a nine-month investigation. It was since beginning of September. But Briles led Baylor to a 65-37 record in eight seasons as a coach.
Yeah, he was a good coach. He was a winning coach.
Yeah. And he also led him to 50-15 record the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So
he's been consistent too.
He's been really consistent. Like, he literally turned that program from, I say they were the bottom feeder of the top Big 12 for mm-hmm. so many years. He overturned that program to a top 25 program.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, and they were quietly good too.
Until
RG3 kind of jumped on the scene.
They
were quietly a good contending team.
Yeah, I remember when RG3 had that big play against Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was when Baylor kind of was in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they went on to be in some big bowl game that year and some big games later on in that mm-hmm. year and really produced. So they've been relevant since he left too. Since RG3 was gone, I mean Bryce Petty played there, and they have had good players since then. You know, I say Petty because of the year they played, and they were there. They made a couple other bowl games, you know. So they've been relevant this entire time the Briles has been there.
And RG3 was actually a part of his first recruiting class. That and with Kendall Wright and Terrence Williams, that's those three is quite a recruiting class.
You know, that she, that
first
she,
year.
Yeah, now that you mentioned. Yeah. Now that you mentioned their recording. I'm sorry, recording. Their recruiting class of his first, his last now.
Yeah.
Evidently, there's only technically speaking two commits left on the 2017 class from the 2017.
Since
class.
Was that after he?
As of now, yeah.
As of now,
yeah.
Okay.
And they've all left, excluding two players, one of whom the quarterback Mond is his last name. I forget his first name right now. He's actively looking to leave, with Ohio State being one of the top candidates. He's I think top five dual threat quarterback in this draft class. I'm sorry, in this recruiting class.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that just shows you kind of like what's going to happen with this team. There's only one player left from the recruiting class, realistically, because you can imagine that Mond's going to be leaving. So that's pretty heavy on a team that was looking to be a college football playoff contender.
Yeah, they barely missed the playoffs by like one spot last year. The past couple of years,
yeah, the
since
first
it started,
year, remember, Baylor and TCU,
yeah,
Baylor and TCU,
a couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, they've been right there the entire time. So
yeah, they were so close. They're just a couple of games away.
What do you make of this? Where do you see Baylor going now?
I see Baylor going a couple of directions. They got to change the culture first and foremost before they hire a new coach. But before I get into that, I actually want to talk about Art Briles. I was like, do you think this is the end of his coaching career? I don't think it's the end.
I think he's a good enough coach, and I think somebody will give him a chance somewhere. I mean, it's when it comes down to it, you can look at a few different cases of this kind of stuff, and was it really the coach who was the biggest at fault there, or is it, you know, people who are higher up, and then the coach gets fired because he's kind of the face of the team?
Yeah.
I think he'll get a job somewhere else, you know? I mean, if guys like... Oh, I just had his name and I lost it. The guy from the Saints who got the coach who got in trouble for the the bounty,
Rob Ryan or
no, that's Rex Ryan. Not... But I mean Rob Ryan, but no. A few years before.
Oh,
he's with the Titans now.
Yeah, I knew you're talking. I can't have. I know what you're talking about. He was also a coordinator with the Rams too.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
I'll find it while you're talking, but. I if guys like him get jobs, you know, after this kind of stuff happens, I feel like Art Briles would be okay. He's a good coach.
No, he was a great coach, great college coach. But how soon will he get that job? Because
Greg Williams,
that's his name, yes. But how soon will Briles get that next coaching job? You know, he turned around a Big 12 program. Around
it
so
might
quickly.
Be a few years, to be honest.
Yeah, it might be a few years, but yeah, no, it's gonna haunt him for a little while, you know, because
yeah, for sure,
you know, because this blew up nationally, you know, when this news broke about, you know, the sexual assaults, you know, from his players and pretty much anything else in between, you know, it's been like a year long story, and it was quietly a year long story also. Now, not a lot of people knew about it until probably the last month. Last month was when
it started
to surface.
I think it started surfacing a little heavier after the second time Oakman got in trouble.
Yeah, that too. Yeah,
and then more reports started coming out of activity over there in Mako. So it is going to be interesting to see. I definitely think that he will find suitors for jobs, whether it's in Division I or maybe he drops down to Division II.
I don't see him dropping down.
Not necessarily Division II, but not one of the power.
You mean like Group of Five or like the FCS?
I mean like Group of Five. You know,
Group
maybe,
of Five. Yeah,
not necessarily like the top, like those top conferences.
Yeah, I know what you're talking.
You know,
like, so
like
he's
could
not,
very
yeah.
much go to like the American Athletic West Conference or. For example, he could go to like a Mountain West school, even though I feel like he's much better than a Mountain West school.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this because this is what he deserves. By no means am I saying that. I just think that maybe he'll have to kind of go to a division that's not the highest up there for now. You know, maybe ACC. Maybe he can go to a team. I don't know if he's. What I mainly mean is I don't know if he stays in like a Big 12 conference. You know, maybe he goes to the Big Ten. Maybe he goes to – I don't see anything lower than maybe those Division ones, you know. I don't see him going to the Conference USA. I don't see him going to an independent school. Maybe a Mid-American school.
I don't know. I don't see him going to the MAC.
No, probably not. I do see him
going to the Mountain West, possibly.
Mountain West, I think. There are some schools.
There's some schools that play really good football there.
Mm-hmm. I could see him going to. I would rule out the SEC, the Pac-12, yeah, probably.
And
I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the ACC or the Big Ten. Those are my guesses.
He would more likely get a job in the Power Five, not Power Five, the Group of Five conference, because he's a really good coach. You know, he, like I said earlier, he's turned around a Big 12 program around, and well, we'll have more news.
Yeah.
On, you know, we're going to find our closing thoughts. And
you're going to give me some coaches that you could see taking over.
I got three names, I think.
Keeping it short. I like it.
Three names. Okay. So I will say my three names who could replace Bras potentially after we return from these messages.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Contest Football Podcast, where we were discussing former Baylor coach Art Briles before the break.
Yeah, you had told me you had some coaches that you, well, some candidates that you would see possibly candidates. Maybe next year, unless, you know,
Phil Bennett.
Unless, you know, he just has a really good year as
an
coach.
Yeah, a really good year.
Some guys you could see taking over that position there in Mako?
Yeah, I got three names. My first name on my list is Sonny Dykes, 46-year-old current Cal Bears coach.
Okay.
He knows the state of Texas and the high school coaches and the players around the area. He knows that area really well.
Okay.
That's why he's a good fit for that reason.
And then could you see him leaving the Pac-12, though?
Yeah, I can. I'm going to tell you why, because I don't think he has the support from Cal anymore. Dude, he is 0-9 in rivalry games.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been able to negotiate an extension with Cal. So I can see him going to Baylor.
Okay.
If Cal decides to fire him or if he resigns.
Okay.
And, so that's why
that's
see.
That's definitely interesting.
He's an interesting name to look out for.
Okay.
And I'm
telling
you, I think if.
And he lost his golden goose in golf, too.
Yeah. So, and they have really great talent that fit the system similar to Cal, too.
Yeah, they're kind of a vertical kind of spread offense.
Yeah, and that's
over there.
Yeah, that's the type of football they play at Baylor. And I have Mike Singletary.
Love Mike Singletary.
He's considered probably the best player in Baylor history. NFL legend. He has head coaching experience in the NFL. Not only that.
And coordinator experience.
And he has a decade of NFL coaching experience.
Yeah, very well-rounded just kind of knowledge of the game as a coach and player in general. You know, I've been wanting him to get another shot at a head coach.
Yeah, me too. I always said that college was a better fit for his style anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's more of that kind of, you know.
He's like that rah-rah guy kind of.
He's kind of what Saban wasn't in the NFL. You know,
Saban was kind of
even keel and not really.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you kind of have to find a, you know, you kind of have to be that in between with the NFL, at least seems like. But in college, like, Pete Carroll was one of the best coaches at that kind of stuff, where he was people are like, I was never going to work in the NFL, and it's worked really well with the Seahawks with that kind of rah-rah guy. But Singletary is not the rah-rah guy. He's the one that just, like, he's the motivator.
Yes, you know, great motivator.
He's like an old boxing coach or something. Like, he just gets you motivated. And I feel like he didn't have the best team around him in San Francisco when he was the coach there at that time.
Yeah, at the time.
But he did seem to lay a lot of good groundwork that Harbaugh came in and picked up on. So I think he would be a really awesome choice. And you get to coach your alma mater, too.
Yeah, And he has the ability to hold guys accountable. Because I remember when he was in the NFL, a game against Vernon Davis. That was a huge. I wouldn't say it's a huge story, but that's the same game he went on and ran. You know,
yeah.
I want winners. I want people to. Yeah, that was that same game.
And you know, too, is I love seeing coaches go back and coach their alma maters too.
Hell yeah,
it's awesome. Harbaugh.
Harbaugh's doing it now.
Most recently, right now with Michigan, it's just awesome to see. So I would, and or even like Lynn Swann. I'm going. He's now the athletic director with USC.
At USC,
he had such a great career. So things like that is awesome. So, yeah, I would love to see him. And who's your number three?
Actually, before I say my number three, I just want to point out that Singletary is actually deeply religious, and Baylor is, you know, a Christian school. They're built on faith, and that's why I think he can change the culture and then kind of like the setting a little bit, you know, following a turbulent time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, moving on to my final candidate is Mack Brown, former Texas Longhorn coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
More of a wild card, in my opinion, when you're kind of, and I don't mean this in an insensitive way to Baylor, but when you're kind of the crown jewel of Texas, you know, coaching Texas.
In Austin.
In Austin, Texas, you know, do you really want to go?
To Waco,
Like, it's almost like, I don't mean this in bad ways, it's almost like a step back because it is a
It's a smaller market too.
It's not as much of a you know, historically great history of football as Texas has. So that's more of like a maybe kind of one. It would make sense on levels and make no sense on levels. So interesting, I would say the least.
Yeah, he also has the ability to handle the media. Honestly, that's why
very well.
Yeah, because they're going to ask a lot of tough questions at press conferences, you know, not only this season, but from moving forward.
Yeah. He was always really good at that in Austin, and he always handled those things well. And he's a great coach, too. He's the coach there in 06 with the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
He coached with a few very good quarterbacks. Colt McCoy, who was one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
Vince Young,
obviously.
Yeah.
Who was the quarterback in that Rose Bowl, had a great career there in Texas.
Great.
Good quarterbacks,
Great. That was a great game, by the way.
I was still a USC fan then,
yeah.
But it was a very good game to watch.
Yeah,
arguably, people ranked that as the number one college football game of all time. So,
yeah.
If you look at it that way, yeah, great game to watch. It was a good, killer game. So, I think that would be the dark horse. Of your three choices, those are three that are.
Seeing Singletary as the most likely choice because I think if Singletary was offered that position, I think he would take it. He wouldn't hesitate at all.
No. I remember watching the Football Life, they do an NFL network of him, and he was just saying he's waiting for that chance to coach again as a head coach. And I think the kind of guy he is, you know, he's huge on faith and he's huge on, you know, where you been kind of thing like that. And. I think he would love to go back there.
Oh, I would love to see him back there.
Yeah, me too. I would be really, really excited for that kind of situation. So I'm really happy you picked that.
Yeah, he's actually my favorite. Sonny Dykes is kind of like to me, he's kind of like the wild card, and Mack Brown is probably the dark horse.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if any of these three guys decide that.
I would be surprised with Mack.
But really, Mac?
Only because of the situation.
I kind of wouldn't be surprised. You know, even though he is 64 years old, I wouldn't be surprised.
He could decide he wants to step away from coaching.
Not only that, but like they have a talented roster enough to compete already.
With the right kind of guy in the forefront there. But that also, if you think about it, with head coaches, offenses change too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could have, you know, Cal, if you got that, I forget his name.
Sonny Dykes,
thank you. If he came over, you're bringing very, you know, similar offenses. Singletary came over, it's a little bit of a different offense.
Yes, it's a totally different offense.
You know, if he brings that kind of, if he brings his kind of
but he would change the culture of that
team.
That's why he's such
that's
a...
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in that sense. If you bring Mack Brown, that's a completely different
Totally different. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he took that job if he was offered.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, no, I was saying that in the sense of you saying that it has the talent to win now. It does, but it has the talent to win now in the practice schemes that they play in. You know, it's like, do you think the... Do you think a team like the Houston Texans would be a great read option team? No, but no. The Panthers are because they have the personnel for it.
Yeah, they have the quarterback for it.
You have to also hire a coach that would come in and use that personnel the right way. And I don't know at this time if Mac Brown would be that guy because it has always been kind of more of a pro-style offense. I think he ran kind of with Texas, you know, and kind of a shotgun offense. So I think that would be the trickier part.
But we agree that Mike Singletary is.
Oh yeah, I love both of those other ones. Yeah. Like, those are really good, and I like the Mac Brown pick. I just think that's definitely more.
But
of
he's the dark horse. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I would be not surprised to see that too because I'd be actually pretty excited because I'd be excited that for when you picked him because I like the first one a lot. I didn't think of it in that sense.
Sonny Dykes.
I didn't think of it with the whole Cal stuff going on, and obviously being a big fan of Singletary, so I like both of those.
Yeah,
like him a lot. But we're gonna take a quick break here. And we're going to get into our last two bits of college news. College, all college episode today.
Special episode. Special Motor Day episode. All college.
Yeah, I like it. But we're going to get into the last two bits of news we have for the day. Some just little stuff. And we will be right back here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And thank you for coming back and joining us on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. We'll have our last two bits of news here for you today. Jeremiah, let's go and introduce the next one.
Yeah, speaking of Texas, which we were talking about a little bit previously in the last segment, the University of Houston. Mm-hmm. Can they contend for a potential playoff spot? They had a good season last year, 13-1, Peach Bowl victory over Florida State last season. Can they be the first group of five team to contend in the college football playoff?
Well, they went 13-1 last year.
Yeah,
they were ranked.
Yeah.
They finished the season ranked 18. And they have, going into this year, what you and I were talking about before the show, one of the
Dark Horse candidates
for Heisman this year. I think that if they play like they did last year, I mean, nobody outside the top 10 is going to be even somewhat considered for the playoffs, but it's really going to depend on if they can make that jump to the top 10 that they kind of started last year, you know? I think it really depends on if they can you know, jump that little like that next step, you know what I mean? I mean, they finished number one in the West at 7-1 and 13-1 overall, just past Navy, who actually had a pretty good year last year as well. 7-1 and 11-2,
and then Temple
also had a good, pretty good year. 7-1 and 10-4 in overall.
Yeah, Temple, Navy, and Houston, they were all ranked, and Memphis was ranked
for a little while
the year until they kind of faltered.
They finished 9-4.
Yeah, it was a good season for the American Conference. They kind of, like, separated themselves from the rest of the group of five conferences.
I mean, with having three ranked teams, that'll do it. I mean, Temple, Houston, and Navy for a while, too. Navy played some good football.
Keenan Reynolds, he was a stud last year.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess he's playing running back.
You running back for Baltimore Ravens? That's what he's listed at.
Yeah, and he got cleared, actually, to play.
Right,
and was it forego his duty? I think that's what it was called.
Yeah.
So that's awesome for him. But back to Houston. I think that, he receives the okay to join the Ravens. There was a word I read earlier. I think they absolutely have the option, not option, but ability, I guess you could say, to compete for the playoffs. You know, I think they just have to. I think they have some work to do, though.
Yeah, they definitely have the talent. They got 12 starters returning on both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So the talent is there. Everything is there for them.
And they had a great recruiting class, too. They had three top 100 players, I believe, in their recruiting class this year. A couple D tackle, a athlete, so you know, return receiver, running back, and an offensive tackle there. All three of them, I believe, were in the top 100, if not the top 200.
Yeah, but not only do they have, you know, the roster, mm-hmm. you know, the players returning, they have a pretty winnable season, winnable schedule too. You know, because we don't know how Navy is going to play without Navy Reynolds.
Navy is so unpredictable.
They are unpredictable. Temple, I don't think they play Temple this year. No, they do not play Temple. They play Memphis. But
it's a conference game.
We don't know how they're going to be without Paxton Lynch.
Look at it this way. Oklahoma starts at home against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
First game of the year. Yeah. Cincinnati is no easy win anymore. As they have been in past five, six years.
Yeah, they're pretty tough team, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've been a more competitive team.
Yeah.
Then they have UConn, who's not exactly a football powerhouse by any means. But then they have Navy, and again, who knows how they're going to be playing this year without Reynolds. SMU, who has the tendency to upset teams the last few years. UCF, who hasn't been quite the same since Bortles left, but are a competitive team. And then Louisville, who do put up a fight. And then, like you said, Memphis, who... without Paxton Lynch, we'll have to see how they play. And those are just a few games that would stand out to me. I mean, they have Lamar week two, Texas State, you know, not necessarily big matchups. So what I kind of picked out there were the big games. And like we said, too, is the very first game of the year, you know, opening at home against Oklahoma. That's going to be a pretty good test for them.
It's a semi-home game. They're actually at where the Houston Texans play at.
Oh, NRG Stadium.
NRG Stadium, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, home game, neutral site home game.
That's a big game to start off this season.
Yeah, I mean, it's like UW Washington. They play in the Seahawks Stadium every few games throughout the year. If the Apple Cup against Washington State is ever a home game for them, they always play it there. So, yeah, same kind of thing, I guess. But that'll be a big test. And I guess by about week five, you know, they'll have played Oklahoma week one, Lamar, Cincinnati, Texas State, and UConn. By then, we can start getting an idea of what the kind of team this will be.
Yeah, they can potentially be 5-1 at that point.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, with you know, who knows how it's going to be happening with Oklahoma, but I feel like they can win Lamar. They can win at Cincinnati.
They can win
in Texas State, and they can win at home against UConn. I think at that point, they can very much be 5-1 going into a conference game against Navy. Which is also at a neutral location. I don't know where, though. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not. It is at Navy.
Yeah, it's at Navy.
So
wherever their stadium is called. I forgot what their stadium is called.
I have no idea. But going into a important game in conference, depending on how Navy shows out this year, we can really be looking at if they have the chance of making the playoffs, because they were – I don't know what they were this past year win total-wise. I'm picking that up right now. They were through their first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. They were undefeated. They actually didn't lose until
UConn.
4, 5, 6.
Yeah, 7. On November 21st.
Yeah, week 11.
That was a 3-point loss.
Yeah, that was one of their toughest losses all year. I mean, coming off the week before that too against Memphis, they won 35-34. They had back to back, really.
And they played Cincinnati before that.
Yeah, 33-30. Back to back really tough games. I mean, Vanderbilt. 34-0, and 59-10 against UCF the week before that, 42-7, 49-28. They had some pretty, you know, handed wins, you know. Louisville was their first real tough match of the year, 34-31. And then they had blowout until Cincinnati. And then, three close games in a row.
And then they ended off with that Florida State victory, which was huge.
Which was a close game, but not close. They won by 2 touchdowns.
The score doesn't reflect the actual game.
It was a very close game. They ended up winning 38-24, but it was back and forth a lot of the game. But they won at Navy last year pretty decisively, 52-31. But UConn, they'll be looking for some revenge there. Memphis just narrowly escaped them last year, but we'll have to see how that turns out this year with a much different team without Paxton Lynch at the helm. So I think this is definitely a team that can compete.
Well,
we've seen that. So
for them to clinch a playoff berth, they have to go undefeated and pass the eye test, especially all the weaker opponents throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like we looked at their schedule earlier. like we just did, they had blowout, blowout, blowout. If they continue to do that next year and narrow and beat the tough teams like Oklahoma, mm-hmm. beginning of the year, they should have no. They should have. There should be no reason why they shouldn't make the playoffs.
Well, I mean, it's always going to be tough because you have teams that are just those.
Well, be considered. Well, at least be considered.
It's really going to depend if they can get into the top 10 or not. That's my thing. And last year, they didn't play a ranked team until that game against Memphis. And then the only three games were against those teams in their division. They start the year off against a ranked opponent. And as of right now, it is the only
I don't think Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma ranked? I think they ranked.
If they are, they're high 20, but maybe they're not. No, as of right now, they're not. But that very well can change later.
Oh, yeah, the top 25 doesn't release till like later. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, as of right now, unless Navy gets ranked again, none of these teams are really teams that are ranked. I don't see Memphis being ranked again this year. Navy will have to see. You just never know with Navy. But, I mean, Oklahoma is clearly the best team they're going to play all year, it looks like so far. So I'm interested. I'm very interested.
Yeah, they're an intriguing team to watch this upcoming season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very interested. We'll see. I don't know about playoff
they can at least make a
level, but I think top
10. They can at least make a New Year's Eve game, bowl game. Not a playoff game, but, you know, another bowl
game.
One of
the New Year's Eve bowl games. I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
What's our last bit of news for the day?
Oh, yeah. We're ending off the show with a very feel-good story.
Oh, a feel-good story. Okay.
The cap off this Memorial Day episode.
Okay.
Pittsburgh running back James Conner announced he was cancer-free last week after being diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Lymphoma. That's one of the bad ones. Yeah, he tweeted on Twitter. That sounds like a weird...
He tweeted on Twitter.
Quote, God is amazing. Just got the call that my body is clean of cancer. It's been a long road, but God had my back. Thanks to everyone who said prayers. That's a real good feel-good story to hear somebody who was a big story this last couple months and last year, in fact.
Yeah, he was even on Ellen, I think, in around April.
To talk about what's going on. Yeah, he was former ACC Player of the Year. He finished 12th and final. Finished his 12th and final chemotherapy treatment on May 10th. Yeah, no, that's awesome. He's a good running back. He's a big, big, powerful guy. So that's always exciting to see anybody that is now cancer-free. You know, that's awesome for him. I'm sure he's excited to get back to football.
Yeah, he's expected to get back on the field this year, according to Pat Nadarcy, Pittsburgh coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, according to him, yeah, and... actually, something else is that Eric Berry, who also had the mm-hmm. same disease, he actually contacted him.
Yes, he did.
Via phone and text message. And he even met him on Ellen. You know,
yeah.
Ellen does great things.
Ellen is awesome. He says God is good.
Yeah.
Ellen is good.
Ellen is good. Yeah. Man, she's great, isn't she?
Yeah, she does some good stuff.
Yeah.
But, yes, that's absolutely awesome to see, especially to end on such a good note like that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Conner get back out there because he was exciting to watch in 2014. Really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a good running back. But thank you. We guys want to thank you for tuning into our Memorial Day. I lost it for a second. Our Memorial Day episode here at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. We want to thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at @GSMC_football podcast as well as Facebook at the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And you can find us on all streaming devices, Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher. SoundCloud. You can find us on all of those. As always, I am Alex.
And I'm Jeremiah.
And we want to thank you guys for listening. Have a good rest of your holiday weekend. And we will see you guys next time.